Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Vince.
And I'm Ashley.
And we are the lead pastors of the Outlet Community Church. And wherever you are in the world, our heart is to add value to your life.
That's right.
Whether it's an encouraging word, whether it's a topic in the Bible, whether it's a life skill that you're looking to develop and hone in on, allow us to be an outlet for you.
Yes, and our prayer is that wherever you are, whether you're right here in service or you're out in the world in the nation, listen, our prayer is that God meets you right where you are. We all have needs, we all have things, but our God is able, and He's able to bless you and get you where you need to be.
We have hundreds of hours of digital content that is available for you to consume free of charge. Freely we receive, freely we want to give it back to you. So make it a point to check out our page, check out our website at theoutletcommunity.com, and you'll be able to find countless hours of videos, podcasts, and other material to help you grow in your walk with God.
Hey, if you like some of the content, like, subscribe, share it, and we'd love that. See your family and friends.
So open up your heart and get ready to receive all that God has for you. Go with me to the book of Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. We are kicking off our series of joy. Someone say and type in joy.
Joy.
All right. I know you said it, but let's say it like we have some. Somebody say and type in joy.
Joy.
Joy. Yes. Joy is so important to have. People can experience the joy that's within you when they come in your presence. Joy is the atmosphere that you create that others experience. But most importantly, joy is your life source. Joy is your energy source. And sometimes when we feel burned out, we're on our last leg, the issue could sometimes be that our joy is not full. And it's time for you to get your joy back. It's time for you to get your smile back. It's time for you to get that bounce back in your step. I know life might have knocked you down. I know you might have had some disappointments, but we are going to see today that this joy that has been given to us by God, no one and nothing can take it away. However, we can choose to not highlight it. And so I want us to cultivate and have some tips and some steps to cultivate a life full of joy. Philippians chapter 1, we'll start in verses 4 through 6. And to give you some background of Philippians, this book is known as the letter or the epistle of joy. Ironically, joy is one of the greater themes inside of this book. The only greater theme in the book of Philippians is the word God, Lord, Jesus, and Christ. But other than that, it is joy. Why is that so significant? Because Paul was not only encouraging us to have joy, he was commanding us to have joy while he was locked up in prison. He wasn't in a federal penitentiary as we think about it. He was doing hard time. In fact, they were so upset with Paul that the prison that they created for him was a pathway for their sewage system before we had the plumbing that we had today. All right. I guess I'm on to something. So with the sewage system that they had, Paul was located by where everyone's waste went by, and just for imagery, just for the sake of us understanding, can you all imagine how dark and how smelly his situation was? And he was treated like a hardened criminal without doing any wrong thing. Yet, he said, if I could have joy in this situation, anyone can have joy in any situation. For you Bible scholars out there, now it makes sense in Philippians chapter 3 when he says that everything that I've accomplished up to this point that I am now in, I consider it, in Philippians 3:9, he said, I consider it dung. You know where he got the imagery of dung from? Where he was sitting. And he said, everything I've done, all of my accomplishments, all of my value that the world has given me, it is nothing except for me to know Jesus Christ. So Philippians chapter 1 and verse 4, it says, and this is Paul now in prison, in a sewage system, hanging out, writing a letter to people he loves. He says, so whenever I pray, I make my request for all of you with joy. Someone say, with joy. With joy. So this apostle, locked in chains, is still praying for others. Wow, what the power, what it displays to us, the power of joy. Verse 5, for you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the time you first heard it until now. Verse 6 is where we're going to look at and camp out today. Paul says, and I am certain, the New King James says, and this is the confidence that we had, and I am confident, I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. So you mean to tell me that someone who is locked in a prison, someone who is locked in a jail cell, surrounded by sewer, filth, waste, darkness, was able to look beyond what he was going through and encourage someone else to say that if God has started anything in your life, there was something that Paul knew that he held on to in a very dark season and dark moment of his life, that he was able to not only encourage himself, but encourage other people to say that I understand what I'm going through, but when I'm looking at your situation, I am certain. He did not say, I'm kind of sure, or it's a good possibility. He said, no, I am certain that God, who has begun the good work within you. And I want to talk to somebody who is questioning, has God forgotten about me? Has God forgotten about my situation? I know I've started on the right path. I am coming today to let you know that I too am certain that God, who has begun a good work within you, he is not going to do it halfway. He is going to complete every single thing that he's ever called you to do. He is going to finish it on the day when Christ Jesus returns. This confidence that Paul had produced joy within that empowered him to give joy around him. This confidence that he had came because he had some experience with the character of God. And knowing Paul's background, who first started off as Saul of Tarsus, who persecuted Christians, I believe that Paul understood a fundamental biblical principle about joy. Most people think that you have joy because you received something that you desired. But the biblical joy that we're talking about, real joy, it comes when you realize that you didn't get what you really deserved. I don't know if somebody could talk to me today. Joy is about realizing that based off of the pathway that I was going down in my life. I don't know. Maybe everybody in here have been holy and have never sinned or made a mistake. But I don't know. Maybe you were like me, who needed a God, who needed a Savior to rescue you from yourself. There were some things and some situations that you might have been in. Your back was up against the wall, and you developed a relationship with God, seeing him come through when otherwise it seemed impossible. The title of this part one of joy is When I think about God, it's we have history. We have history. Someone say, me and God, we have history. I'm going to be like the old school church. Look at your neighbor. Say, me and God, we have history. Let us pray. Lord, during our time together, God, we have such history. In fact, you knew us before we were formed in our mother's womb. And your eye has been upon us, but your hand has been with us. God, in the moments of our life where we forgot that you've always been there, may today be a reminder that under any circumstance that we find ourselves in, your grace is here to help. Your grace is here to heal. Your grace is here to deliver. And we thank you for your joy that comes from it. It's in Jesus' name everyone says, amen, amen. Psychology Today in November of 22 produced an article entitled The Hidden Power of Joy. And this article came from just data that has been collected over the last 3 years and noticing that post-pandemic levels of depression, anxiety have been skyrocketing. Some of the reasons associated with these increasing levels of depression and anxiety have been due to isolation, people not being able to be in community with one another, people having financial concerns because the rising prices of basic needs and the income stagnation, and then various other tensions, wars, racial situations, political divisions. But they realize that when you're facing all of these things that are present in this world, there's one thing you need to always have in mind, and that is, as we just sang, you need to have a heart of gratitude, that whenever I'm feeling less than or whenever I'm feeling overwhelmed, I need to shift my thinking to be mindful of the things that I do have and start with the basic necessities of the fact that you woke up this morning, the basic necessities of the fact that you are in your right mind or sort of, or just a percentage, whatever it may be. The basics, start with the basics and practice being grateful for what you do have instead of focusing and dwelling on what you don't or you think you won't have. But what I love about this article, and again, this is Psychology Today. This is not a Bible lesson that I'm reading to you. I'm literally reading something that was published. Psychology Today concluded that joy is not found in this material world. No one or nothing can bring you joy or steal your joy. Joy is a mindset. It's a decision of the mind. Philippians 1:6, as we just read, where Paul said, I am certain that God, who has begun a good work within you, will continue it, continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ returns. The word certain is the Greek word petho. Petho is defined as, and this is what Paul was literally saying. He said that my mind is so made up that there is no doubt that can reasonably exist that God will ever fail to do what he said. Paul has had so much life experience with God being true to his word that he says, I refuse to let any thought live in my mind that is separate from who God has already shown himself to be. You have history with God in your life. And it is so funny that when life puts us against the wall, we have sudden amnesia as to all of the miraculous things that God has done through various times of your life. And I want to take you to the times where you didn't even know that it was God looking out for you. Someone say and type in, I have history. So how do we get our minds to this place that we are beyond convinced that God is not a God that he should lie, nor the Son of Man that he should repent? Go to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. It's a daily decision that we have to make. So as Paul was concluding this letter, He says, always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. What he is telling us is that constant rejoicing reveals a constant confidence in God. A lack of rejoicing reveals a lack of confidence in God. And a lack of confidence in God is simply lack of remembering the experiences that you've had with him. Always. Someone tell me, is there anything left after always? So that means in any and every circumstance, in any and every season, with any and everything that you hear, you can always rejoice. Joy is the experience of the life of God within that allows you to produce the life of God around you. It's a realization that God has never forsaken me for one moment in my life. I can think back to some very destitute times, some very tough moments, tough places that I've been in. And initially, especially when you go through seasons where it seems like you're facing test after test after test, after test. When you first start facing tests, you start wondering, God, are you really there for me? But after you see him come through in this one area and you see him come through in this other area, your mind begins to get set on the point that I don't know how you're going to do this, God, but I just know that you will. And sometimes we refuse to allow joy to permeate our life because we're trying to figure out how to do something that it's not our responsibility to do. It is your responsibility to believe. It is God's responsibility to perform. He will always do his responsibility. Joy helps you do your responsibility. So Christian joy is independent of circumstance. And Paul was not suggesting that you have joy always. He was making it a command. He says, you all understand what I'm dealing with. You all understand what I'm going through. And that particular church was a Philippi. They were not necessarily recognized by the Roman government as having any type of worth, any type of value. But more importantly, this church that was started in Philippi was started, and then the leadership had to leave and go and begin to start other works. And so this infant church was now living, and they were dealing with schisms, not only in their interpersonal relationships within their family, but they were dealing with issues amongst the congregation and the church at large. And I don't know if any of you all have noticed this, but the relationships that matter to you most, when they're not going right, it seems like nothing is going right. You don't mind what somebody says who you don't necessarily have a relationship with, but when someone that you know, you love, you trust, disappoints you, betrays you, makes you feel as though the relationship that you once thought you had, you no longer have, you can be tempted to be extremely discouraged and feel extremely worthless. And what Paul was saying is that I understand that you all are having relationship difficulties, but I want you to have a predisposition to an attitude of joy. And one who has confidence in God is able to weather the differences that we have with one another. When someone is predisposed to thinking about why and what is the basis that I can have this joy, then they understand that whatever I'm going through with someone else and with something else falls and fails in comparison. So we may ask, what is joy? Go with me to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. What is joy? When I'm speaking of joy, I'm not talking about walking around with a smile on your face every day. When I'm speaking of joy, I'm not talking about the feelings of happiness or gladness, although they are associated. What I am talking about is a spiritual strength under any and every circumstance to maintain a positive outlook, trusting God for the outcome. That's joy. And it's from that place of joy that then produces the other feelings of happiness and gladness. Because when life hurts, I don't know about y'all, I don't feel like laughing. I don't feel like putting on and faking the funk. But joy in the midst of life happening says, I know this hurts. I know you're upset. I know there's a dark cloud. I know there are concerns, but hold on. This is not done. If you haven't seen the good from it, God is not yet done working in it. And joy holds us to the character of God. Well, how is that so? Galatians 5 and 16, it says, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. And so from verses 17 to 21, it talks about if we don't let Holy Spirit drive, this is what we set ourselves up for. But I want to drop down to verse 22. So in verse 16, if we say, let the Holy Spirit guide your life, let's see where the Holy Spirit will guide you to. Verse 22, it says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. So when I allow Holy Spirit to guide my responses, when I allow Holy Spirit to guide how I act, how I process, then what I'm going to experience is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. The word joy there is the word kara. Kara is a characteristic of the fruit of the Spirit. And it is the expected result of Christians because it is a product of them having accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Let me break all of this down. Anybody has ever been approached by a salesperson before? All right. Has anybody ever been convinced to buy something because of an excellent salesperson before? Okay. Has anybody ever run from a product because of the disposition of the person selling that product? If you look mad and busted and like it's not working for you, why would I invest in that in me? Well, the same is true when it comes to our Christian walk. You don't have to have a sign with John 3:16 on it. If your life reflects the joy of the Lord in everything you do, because you're constantly reminded of, man, I know how life was before I accepted Christ, and now things have been completely different. I actually gave my heart and my life to God, more than just a prayer, but when I left church, I began spending time in the Word. I began praying. I began spending time with other believers. I began taking classes. I even began giving, and all of a sudden, my life seems like it's gone to another level. Let me tell you about what God has done in my life, and that's what causes people to say, hey, tell me more about that. But the issue is in church, you come through the front door and the greeter looks like this. When you sit down and you are singing praise and you're standing and singing praise and worship, the worshipers are the pastor, when he's delivering the message, and God, he is going to kill you if you don't get right with him. And at the end of all of that, would you like to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? Oh, no, not me. No. But when you see someone who just has this glow about them, there's something different about them. They're easygoing. It's okay. Things are going to work out. I know that's tough, but man, let me tell you, God is good. And how do I know God is good? Let me tell you, in my life, when I was down to my last dime, my life when I was down to my last choice, my life when I was feeling hopeless and didn't have a way out, let me tell you what God did for me. And you begin to see their life. You say, hey, tell me about that. Man, I can say a whole lot about that, but I'm going to be good. When it comes to joy, it comes on the account of what Christ has done. And joy is irrelevant of whatever other circumstances are happening in one's life. That's joy. In the Old Testament, the fundamental understanding of joy, it was all based on, here's the word, the history of God's track record. They said that if God was able to deliver the children of Israel from the hand of the Egyptians, there is no way we will serve any other God but that, because there was no way they could have got out of that bondage except it was the Lord who brought them out. The Old Testament bondage of the children of Israel in Egypt is a type and shadow for all of us who live lives apart from God before Jesus Christ entered our life. Does anybody by of a little show of hands remember the old you? I'm talking about the old you. Remember how lost and hopeless you were living that life and truly wondered if there was any way you could get out of that? Have you ever sat around sometimes wondering, how is it that I am now doing the things I'm doing now when I know me some X amount of time ago, I wouldn't have been thinking about any of the positive things that I'm doing right now? It's only the power of God in your life. And what keeps you there is that memory of where you started from. Some of us forget how destitute it really was, how dark it really was. And we take for granted the blessings and the privileges that we walk in right now. So as we leave out today, I want to talk about how to cultivate a joyful life. How to cultivate a joyful life. And as we're teaching on joy, there's going to be an expectation that we're all going to get 1% better each day in our ability to display the joy of the Lord in our real interactions. See, joyful people aren't critical people, because they're so busy focusing on what they're grateful for, they don't have enough time to talk about what they don't like. So if you practice substituting your complaining, say, you know what, this week, I'm going to go on a fast from being a complainer and critical. Some of us are so critical that we don't realize it's a natural way of life in our interactions. Someone gives you a compliment and you have to find why that compliment isn't so. Just say, thank you. Let's practice that on the count of three. One, two, three. See, there we go. We're adding skills. When you think about something good that you're working toward for your life, you can't even give yourself the satisfaction of dreaming without saying, yeah, but what if? I don't care if everything, the bottom falls out of everything. If God is with you, he will carry you without a bottom. We've got to find a way to maintain our joy. In John 15, 11, the context of this is Jesus was talking about abiding in him, living in him. And in verse 11, he says, I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. Well, how does our joy overflow? What are the things that he's talking about? Well, in verse 12, it lets us know. It says, this is my commandment. So this is the commandment of God for us to focus, to live in, to abide in, to dwell in, to center our life in, that we love each other in the same way I, Jesus, has loved you. Verse 13, there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. What I realize from this verse is that there's a lack of joy because there's an increase of being centered on self. When you lack joy, you've lost sight of first God's love for you, and then how do you love someone else well? Serving something and serving someone beyond yourself produces a level of fulfillment and joy that I cannot explain. I can remember about 15 years ago now, I was in the Mississippi Delta, which is probably one of the most destitute parts of the United States that is actually inside of our continental United States. The Mississippi Delta reminds you of a third world country with its resources, with how people are treated, with its lack. It's really a food desert. It is absolutely terrible here in the United States. And we had a team, our outreach team of the church that I was working for at the time. We went up to the Delta just to love on them. And y'all, it was Mississippi in the summer, in July. Dr. Martin Luther King even commented on the heat of Mississippi. He said, the sweltering heat of Mississippi. It was hot. It wasn't an ideal situation, but we were out there 11 hours. I believe the Lord is calling someone. We're out there 11 hours. Hungry, tired, wore out. But when we got back on that bus, fulfilled beyond anything imaginable. Joy comes when you find a cause bigger than you and you humble yourself and you serve that with the same love that Jesus humbled himself to come to this earth, to die on the cross, to serve you and I. Amen. Amen. The final point here, the essence of joy is determined by the place it is located. All right, I'm tired of that phone. Whose is it? I can't deal with that. Where is it? All right. So I need y'all to be the community police right here. I can deal with it a little bit. When it starts distracting the clothes, I will get rid of whatever phone that is. I don't play with that. Not at all. Amen. So, as I close, the essence or the fuel of joy because I was about to enjoy firing them up. Y'all know about me. Y'all know. Listen, I am a former youth pastor. I was about to fire up on you in front of the whole world. But the community of witnesses reminded me of the message. Joy But just that quick, it will happen But you have to take a perspective of, I am grateful that someone and people that are so popular chose to come to church today. Joy. So the essence of joy is determined by the place it is located. Famous R&B song by Blackstreet. You listen. I know y'all were thinking it when I said joy. And in part of that song, they were singing it too. And I ain't going to lie, I probably will sing it today when I'm hitting the road on vacation. I'm going to put my top back. I'm going to look at my wife and say, you bring me joy, joy, joy. Yeah. All right. But biblically, my wife don't. My wife does not bring me joy. As a husband, I don't bring my wife joy. But together, we have joy. And this joy that we have, the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. So you have to get to a place in your life that you are not letting yourself be moved by every decision, every response, every reply, anything that comes at you, except, God, I know in this place, in this moment, you've got me, you've got my family, you've got my children, you've got my church, you've got every single thing that pertains to me. But I want to close off and leave off by talking to somebody who is in the fight of their life today. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, we heard what Jesus said in John 15, that if we did his commandments, then our joy would be full and overflowing. But what I love about God is not only does he tell us what to do, but he lives out the very thing that he asks us to do. And it says in verse 1, therefore, since we are surrounded by a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down. The weight of approval, the weight of other people's opinions, the weight of what they said, the weight of what they want. We strip off all of those weights that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. It says, but let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. How do we do this? We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. And I just want to know before I leave today, has God done anything, any one thing for you that you call a miracle? I want you to get that event inside of your mind right now. And when you think about what he's done for you that was a miracle to you, I want you to think about how he came through. When others might have talked about you and said you'd never make it, you'd never amount to anything, I kept my eyes focused on Jesus, who is the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. He was able to stay in the fight because of the joy that was awaiting him. He endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. When our joy is placed in God and our eyes are fixed on Jesus, you have to understand that all the stuff that has been coming at you is for the people who are going to watch you win in the areas of your life that you thought you lost in. There's joy in knowing that if Satan could have took me out, he would have already wiped me off of this earth. But because I'm still standing here right now, it's the right place, the right time. God has picked the right person. God has picked you. He has picked your family. He has picked what he's called you to do for you to continue to move forward and be all that he's called you to be. So I don't necessarily apologize that from here on out, if you see me walking with a skip and a step, because I woke up this morning and realized that I shouldn't be where I am right now, but I'm still here. I shouldn't be able to do the things I'm doing right now, but I'm still doing them. So I'm sorry, I can't come into church and just have a quiet church that's just cute. Sometimes I gotta get a little bit undignified because I'm an avid sports fan, and I've been to a recent Braves game, and the Braves, that we're going all the way. All right. And I find myself, when it gets good, I don't care who is around me and what's in my hand. I jump up in excitement, but then I realize the Braves ain't did nothing for me. So when I come inside a church and I think about the balance of my life, and I think about how good God has been, I think about how great God has been, I gotta jump up. Like the prophet said, it's like fire shut up in my bones that I can't keep it to myself. God has been so good, you'd be too selfish to not tell somebody of one thing that God has done for you, one thing that God has brought you from, one thing that God has carried you from. Oh, and I think about that, as good as he's been, God, he is not done yet. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard. Hey! Take you to a place that is deserted, take you to a place that is empty, just so he can show his glory through you. So when people look at your life, they say, you know what? I don't know what it is, but I need to know who you know. And I can tell them, me and God, we got history, baby. He's seen me through. So I'm going home now. But man, don't y'all let Satan slap y'all around. Not another moment, minute of another day. I don't care if they're talking about eliminating your entire field and your job. God could put you in the middle of a desert and have a camel bring everything that you need to make sure that you're gonna be all right. I don't care if they talk about raising the rent. God is higher than the rent. God provided food in the desert. We got to be reminded of who we serve and stop playing little. The news don't dictate my faith. The word establishes my faith. And so any negative report you hear, you say, God, now is the time for me to show me your word come to life. And the next time we're together, I'll talk about the other side of joy on how to bounce back when you do get knocked down. Because you might have to stay in there a little bit. You might be a little woozy. But you got to know how to bounce back. And don't let anybody rob you of your joy. Don't let nothing rob you of your joy. You can talk about me all day long. Just make sure you get my name right on the 1st and 15th when it's payday. Nothing. Nothing. Amen. Everyone standing as we close out in prayer today. Had us a little church this morning.